Hey everyone out there, welcome to Redevelop That. I'm your host, Derek Allen. Let's take a moment, sit down, and discuss all things redevelopment in the city of Henderson.
3, 2, 1.
Here we go!
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to be back with you here on Redevelop That. I'm Derek, your host, and here with the co-host, Tiffany.
Hey, everybody. We hope you had a great holiday season. I'm glad you came back in the new year.
Yes, thanks for coming back, listening in. We have a great interview for you today, but we really appreciate all of your support and those listening to all of our great interviews we had last year. We had fun opportunities to go visit a lot of great businesses and learn about some of the cool things that are going on within our business community here in the area. And so we really appreciate all those who invited us, who allowed us to come in and sit down and talk with them and get to know your businesses a little better. And so it was a fun year. So we look forward to another fun year of interviews coming up. And we always throw it out there that if your business, you would like to have your business here on our podcast and would like to be a part of it, we would love to come and meet with you and get your story. So always reach out to us.
Discover all the hidden gems in our redevelopment areas in Henderson.
That's right. And they keep growing. We keep getting more.
There's so many we don't even know about.
So that's they keep popping up. And today's interview is actually one of those that just kind of, I won't say just popped up. It took a while for this particular business to get up and running, but now that they're open, that's pretty exciting. And so we had the opportunity to sit down with Kevin Sturgeon with
Rockin' Grapes Wine Pub.
Rockin' Grapes Wine Pub. They're at the corner of Atlantic and Water Street. And so it's a cool wine bar area that Kevin had the vision for it, and he brought that vision to fruition. And it's a cool space to go hang out, have lunch, dinner, have some wine, beer, and some drinks, and just hang out and have a good time. And so we appreciate Kevin sitting down with us and sharing his story about how he got to where he is today and what he looks forward to in the future. He has a lot of great ideas and great things coming up for 2024, which by the time this podcast goes live, they will be having their grand opening and be ready to go. So we look forward to having them and their business and their customers here down on Water Street. So let's sit back, relax, and enjoy the interview with Kevin. Well, welcome back to Redevelop That. We're here today with Kevin Sturgeon.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Redevelop That, our podcast here for the redevelopment area. We're glad to have you on.
And I'm glad to be here.
I'm sure you are. It's been quite a journey for you.
Yes, and you know that very well. We've known each other over a year, and you were at the beginning of it.
I've been part of that journey the long way here. So we're actually sitting in Rockin' Grape Wine Pub here on Water Street, the corner of Atlantic and Water Street. And so maybe tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, and what got you to this point.
Well, I won't go too far down the rabbit hole, but yeah, well, I started working in food and beverage side way back when I was in college, back in outside of Philadelphia, where I'm from. And then actually, first big corporate job was working for Disney down in Orlando as an intern. So did that for a couple years, and then moved into the hotel side. Worked for Marriott for 5 years. Worked at the '96 Olympics. Moved to Nashville, then moved back to Orlando, worked for Hyatt. Then that was all banquets, and I got into restaurants. Ran a fine dining restaurant on Disney property for Wyndham Hotels, and then moved out to Phoenix. The wife at the time got a job out in Phoenix area. My parents lived out in Phoenix, so moved out and got my big job was at the Boulders down there in Arizona. So it was basically worked my way up to the food and beverage director of the resort, and Then some things just changed and happened. Started to work at golf courses and ended up up here in Las Vegas. Worked for Stallion Mountain for about a year, and then worked at South Shore Country Club over Lake Las Vegas about 10 years.
Yeah.
So I was a AGM or club manager of the club for a while. And COVID came, got laid off. But in our process of living here, Water Street was always that, like, I'm from a small town in South Jersey, so this reminded me a lot of a small town. And I kept telling people, like, stuff's going to happen here. And like, oh, it's Water Street. That's where jail is. And like, I'm just telling you, it has a lot of potential. Like, we hang out in Boulder City a lot.
Yeah.
And I see that happening. And, you know, then you hear the rumors of the arena coming down, where they were in line to possibly get it. And then, you know, Love Lady came, and then Wands came, and then once the arena broke ground, that was kind of it, right?
Yeah.
So we were already planning on being here. That was like a big thing. We looked at a couple spots here. Some of the owners were kind of a little off when it came to what they wanted to do, how they wanted to, you know, take stuff. And they had TIs at the time we first started doing this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to go into opening a restaurant from a non-restaurant spot. It's just a lot of work, a lot of money goes into it. And some of the owners got a little cold feet from it. So I kept working at South Shore. And finally ended up on Water Street because of Bourbon for right after they first opened. So I was there for about a year, and then and you could see the potential I saw coming. It was already starting. It already started.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this, you know, we need to be down here. And so it was always a goal to be down here. And then kind of bounced around a little bit between Red Rock Country Club and worked another restaurant. And then this spot opened up, and I didn't even know we were eating lunch over at the arena across the street, looking down. And when did I go place that for lease? It used to be a sewing shop. So came in here and literally, you know, did a little walkthrough, and within a few months, the building went into escrow. It's got for sale. So we were in the process of signing a lease, and I got delayed until July of last year.
Yeah.
So we signed a lease in July, and then it's been since then doing everything we're doing. But so my background obviously is heavy in hotels and restaurants and food and beverage. And I think it was this time I was like, you know what, I don't want to work for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have a lot of people going, oh, you're gonna work a lot of hours. I'm like, I've always worked a lot of hours.
Yeah.
You know, pulling a 70-hour week in hotels is not uncommon.
What's the difference between someone else and my own? So. And
exactly. At least here it's my own. So it's been the idea of this whole thing. People always ask me, when did this come into your head, like the Rock and Wine? And I got no story of that, but I actually met Maynard from Tool at a winery in Arizona, and that's the epitome of what we kind of are. I mean, I'm sitting with a winemaker who's a great guy, and he's a rock guy, so there's rock and grapes right there in front of you. And that was the first time I actually really saw, and he wasn't just putting a label on the bottle, he was digging in the dirt, he was working it. And I was very impressed by that. And then you start hearing a lot of bands are, hey, maybe we should get involved with this. And my buddy who's a winemaker in California, Adam Lazar, he's done a lot with bands too. So I think it just kind of started growing.
Yeah.
So all the memorabilia in here is for the past 15 years, I've gone to concerts since I was a kid. Yeah. Didn't collect much back then because that was not part of it was in my head. But a lot of the stuff has been over like by the last 15, 20 years or so, give or take, just kind of gathering tickets and stuff and posters and memorabilia, and just kind of did all of it myself. Most of the stuff in here is all mine. There are a handful of things that have been donated just out of the blue. Kind of funny. People walk in and start wanting to give you stuff.
Hey, like, we want to be on your wall.
And I'm like, that's exactly. Yeah, exactly. We'll but the good thing is, like this place, the menu, the wine, the beer, the food will rotate every probably like 6 months. So some of us will go away, and I have plenty more stuff to go up. Other ideas for the menu too is, it'll get stagnant. I didn't take anywhere else. Yeah, I kind of keep moving stuff forward and kind of change stuff up to keep it relevant too.
Sure.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So especially with the street, as much business as you can get down here, if you got the same stuff, you know, for first 6 months, but after that, I think we'll have some changing. But that will include the memorabilia too. So it's all encompassing. So
that's amazing. Well, that's quite a journey. come from the south and the east and
northeast, south and southwest. So yeah,
now you're come all the way back to the desert, and just like the desert does, it just grabs you and holds you here. So
it did. When I moved out here, it was kind of like, what the heck? I'm used to obviously seasons and winters, and I don't miss the sleet and snow. I'm used to all that, and then here. But you know, I like when it's chilly out, like this time of year. I love it kind of reminds you a little bit of home, but I don't want to deal with snow and all that good stuff.
That's the beauty of right
Southwest
now.
Right.
You get a little bit of the chill, but not so much of it that you have to shovel it or anything of that. So that's amazing. That's a great story, and you know how you got to this point of Rock and Grape, and you know why the wine pub. I guess is kind of the idea of sounds like you know having that interaction with some of those. Contacts you've had and
And I think our initial concept was still going to be this, but we were going to have liquor. Obviously the liquor license versus a beer and wine is much more expensive, and other things besides insurance, everything goes along with it goes up, but there's bars all around here, you know, and you know, if we're going to be different, Miles will be different. Now, mm-hmm. I know people walked in, they're like, oh, you don't have liquor. Nope, sorry, don't. We have beer and wine. But we pride ourselves on what we have, mm-hmm. You know, and the wine side of it, when running in the restaurants, around in the resorts, I was not a wine guy, but you start being forced to deal with, you know, wine inventories that are $500,000 in yeah. resorts. I learned a lot about wine. So, and all the way up to the point where I could have gone to the Somme levels and all that, just never did. Yeah. And I've kind of learned I like a lot of the small, family-owned, very obscure mm-hmm. wine labels and wineries, like my buddy's wines.
Yeah.
Or Adam's wines. But we pride ourselves on that. People walk in here, and most have never heard of any of these wines. Right. They love it. It's Paso Robles, most of them are, but they love that it's something different. And then the beer, 100% local on tap. You know, we have a couple of Mojaves, Love Lady, but also North Fifth. North Fifth and Astronomy Huddle. Mm-hmm. And we tried it, you know, 5 years ago, or actually before that we started this, the beer scene in Vegas was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. There was a couple good ones, but they were minimal. But now, in the last 5 years, a lot have opened up, and they're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And Mojave and Lovelady know those guys very, very well. They do a great job.
Yeah, they've been doing...
Right.
They're out here on Water Street, too, for all those listeners.
Exactly. They're right down the street.
So we're talking local. This is right on the same neighborhood.
Right. And then we have packaged beers, a lot of local, and then craft. I'm trying to stay away from corporate beers. I have nothing against it. People are like, oh, you don't like Bud Light because what happened? I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm a golfer. I drink Coors Light when I golf. But there's enough good beer in town and enough styles that they all make that there's no reason somebody can't come in here and find what they want. If you want liquor, that's the only thing we don't have, and we can't do it, and that's okay. Yeah. So a lot of it's getting creative too. We have some cool drinks and some sangria, and we don't do a mimosa, we do a tang mimosa, so it's actually tang with champagne. People laugh at it, but
it works.
It's got to be different. Anybody can do it. So we try to come up with some different ideas, not just from the drink side and the wine side. Mm-hmm. The wine's unique from. Not where it's coming from, but just some obscure labels, but also the food. The food's also unique in its own right, too.
I just say, it's not just just wine and beer, but you got the food part of it you've talked a little bit about. And being able to, that's always a challenging aspect of any restaurant, is, you know, trying to find that menu that really grabs people.
Yeah, and it's funny you say, we haven't had a lot of business because we kept it kind of quiet. Our opening, we're in our soft opening right now. We haven't really pushed real heavy, and of course, holidays are here. People are... Their time is spent a lot of places elsewhere, so it was their money. So we gotten some business, but we've gotten enough business. We can't really tell what menu items are working or not yet. So, but they're all selling. They're all unique. It's sandwiches, salads, charcuterie, obviously. We do a build-your-own charcuterie, which is pretty unique.
Cool. Yeah.
So when you walk in, you're not forced to get a charcuterie board that may have things you don't want.
Yeah.
Now you pick what you want. So it allows you to pick through 15 different meats and cheeses that you want on your board. It comes with all the kind of stuff with it, too. Mm-hmm. And then some cool appetizers. We just put desserts on the menu last week.
Okay.
So nothing's hot. Our location, couldn't put a hood in. The grease trap's above ground.
Yeah.
So we have to do minimal. We will introduce some heating elements from panini presses and all that down the road. But right now it's just like cold sandwiches. But, you know, when I first approached the city on doing this, I would have just done charcuterie and been done with it.
Yeah.
But Nikki with license is like, no, you can't do that. You need more food. But my mindset from working at Biscuits was the lunch crowd in the city. Now, they haven't hit us yet. I'm just waiting. So everybody listening, come out to lunch.
Right.
Because now we're pushing ourselves as the fastest lunch on Water Street. I've had a couple people from the city come in during their lunchtime. They've been in and out here in 15 minutes. Well, it could have been in and out in 10 minutes, but they hung out.
They
relaxed, and they were able to enjoy their lunch instead of looking at their watch and kind of going. And I've heard it from everybody down here. It's about the time getting in and out from... You know, getting their food quick, and we can do to-go's. People ask for you delivery, on a case-by-case basis. Because we're not staffed for that yet.
Yeah.
If it becomes something that's a necessity, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but I don't have a body sitting here waiting for nothing to happen.
Right.
So as we get going, we can manage that. But we can definitely have stuff ready to go. You can call it in. You call us. We'll have it ready in 10 minutes. Can I pick it up? Then you can zip back to your office. But I know there are some people in the city that can't leave their office, and they've talked to a couple of our servers about it. So. Yeah. A case-by-case basis, but the food's quick. It's in and out. Nothing's cooked, so everything comes already done. So all we're doing is prepping, batch stuff, and assembling.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty straightforward menu.
No, that's good. You know, that's good. Good to have options on Water Street. I mean, we have a whole wide variety of options on Water Street.
Right.
And so to have that variety is just, you know, it's just another, another notch in our belt of... of having opportunities for different clients and different groups to come down here, especially being right across the street from the hockey arena that you have those folks that come and sometimes they need a quick in and out. But
that's been slow with that one, but we've had a couple. They'll come in and go, hey, my kid's across the street. Come in for a glass of wine and something, and then they have like an hour, maybe a little less.
Yeah.
Go back and get the kids. So it's a slow figure. I see people walk by and they're, the moms are dragging the kids' stuff. They're looking inside, and then they hour later, they're walking by the other way looking inside. I'm like, got to learn to leave the kid over there and their stuff and come back over here and hang out.
I got a place for you. Come back, just come on in.
Yeah. So that's lunches are like dinners, I think, or PM, I should say, because we have dinner with sandwiches. I think PMs will slowly, as we start pushing, it's going to get busier and busier and busier. Yeah. I don't have a doubt in that. We've already had some nights we've been packed, so I know it's happening. It's the lunchtime that we're trying to push. And if people say, oh, lunch on Water Street doesn't work, yeah, it does. At Biscuits, Mondays are bad, but we're closed Mondays. Tuesdays and Wednesdays are hit or miss. Thursday, Friday, of course, they have, we had brunch Saturday and Sunday, but the crowd will come down. Yeah. And, if we get like 5 or 6, 7 tables average a day for lunch, average. I mean, maybe do 2 one day, 10 another, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. I mean, that would just be perfect. And I don't think everybody can come in here every day. Get it. You can't. Right, I get tired of my own food. Trust me. I'm usually going to Sticks or Chinitas to eat something.
Right.
I'm tired of my own food. But get everybody come out like once every 2 weeks, once every week. There's enough people in the city that they can come down here. That's kind of what the push is. People will come for lunch from, like Las Vegas and all that because they know we're over here. But that's the captive audience right up the street. It really, truly is.
Well, that's why I always tell when we work with businesses or restaurants that are coming down into the area here, they're always like, oh, yeah, we're just going to focus on the city. And I'm always like, okay, let me just say, yes, we will definitely be down here to help you out. But sometimes we are a fickle group of employees and, we definitely have a very limited time and then budget. And so it's it's definitely hitting that sweet spot to be able to get in and meet those demands. And it's
and a few people from the city have come in, and multiple people have come in and said the time was great.
Yeah.
Food was great. And to your point, the price point was great. Yeah. It's sandwiches and salads. People think, but they're unique. You look at the menu, definitely different sandwiches, but so it makes them kind of fun. But the flip side is there is a ceiling. I mean, people have no problem paying a little more for good food and good drinks.
Absolutely.
Like $7, $8 for a local beer over $5 for a corporate beer, they have no problem doing it. Sure. I've seen it happen down here.
Absolutely.
Food, there is a ceiling still, but if you can, and you can't push it, so I'm our food cost is probably a little higher than I'd like it to be, but I also understand you can only charge so much.
Right.
And again, we're still navigating things.
Yeah.
We're still working,
on that.
Yeah, so I'd rather start a little quieter and work our way into stuff. But from what I've heard, they've told me the price point was great. So obviously, everybody's got a budget. I understand that.
Absolutely.
And if you're eating out every day, totally get it. Totally. Besides changing a food, your budget's got to reflect that, too. Understood.
So what's your favorite item on your menu? Your favorite item?
Probably, that's a tough one. I probably say the one, I like them all.
Right.
But the first one we came up with is called the Lizzie.
Okay.
It's a spicy chicken salad, which can be made non-spicy. We batch the chicken salad, but it's not spiced up until the order.
Mm-hmm.
Pepper jack cheese and a spicy sriracha mayo slaw.
Oh, okay.
So it's got a little kick to it, but it does. It's not as spicy. It sounds like it's going to be like a heartburn. It is not.
does that make you sweating over there?
No, it's not. Funny enough. But the cool thing about it, I reiterate, it can be made. Most things here can be customized.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward. But that was the first one I came up with, and I've never changed it. The other ones have gone through a few alterations over time and improvements or whatever to get to where it is. That one was made, and I was like, that's it.
That's it. We like that one.
Yeah. So it's named after Lizzie Hale from the band Hailstorm. Everybody knows who they are, and she's the lead singer. So it's a spicy chick.
There you go. Since your name implied Rock and Grapes, is it, what kind of other activities you guys got planned for the coming in here?
I know, but a lot of people have asked about live music. When I first went through the licensing, when I first met you, one thing we talked about, even licensing was saying, don't do it now, because if it gets held up for some reason, I was already held up enough, that could actually force you not to open because it's an open license.
Yeah.
So waited. As soon as we opened, I went down there, and they're obviously everybody's in vacation mind, holiday mind, and the guy there said, just come back after the first of the year. So first of the year, I'll get back down there, and we'll get the license started. We won't be having like full-on bands and performances from the standpoint of like what Backyard has done. More acoustic stuff, background stuff, but I know there's a guitar string company that moved into town. They want to do like sponsor a couple nights where they have performance, mm-hmm. where it's like a buy-in or like a private event.
Sure.
Fine with that. There's been some discussion with some of the radio stations in town about bands coming in, doing win a ticket to Rockin' Grapes to see this band do an acoustic performance. Haven't got to that point yet. So that will happen. Music is going to happen. And we're looking at music trivia nights as we get going as well. There's been discussion of even doing a brunch called Unplugged because we can't cook anything. Mm-hmm. So a lot of creativity going right now with what we can do for brunch. Don't want to get into that. It's a lot of stuff that's on the plate, and we got to whittle that one down. Adam, who's the winemaker, he does a thing in Paso called Metal Merlot. It's a little intense. We'll probably do something similar to that, but a buy-in. It's almost and also wine tastings. You bring a winemaker out, and not necessarily wine dinner, just because the food it'd be hard to do it with sandwiches and all, but we could do it and we could have some fun with that. I've done it before. We do stations around and it's a buy-in and it's a private event. So those are some we've talked about and it ties in everything. But I'm also open to all kinds of ideas, and people approach me all the time, and sometimes it's just like, yeah, it's not going to make sense. Sometimes like, well, that's actually pretty good. That may actually be a really good idea to do it and get people down here besides just coming in and hanging out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, as I've mentioned before, we can do private events. Actually, I have one tonight for about 70 people, so it's a possibility, and we use our existing menu. The cool thing is if somebody wants something different and we don't have the menu, I've done enough of bank work in my life and catering in my life, we can come up, as long as it's not cooking anything, if something comes already pre-done in some way, shape, or form, we can definitely do it. So keep that in mind. I know holidays are here, but just in general, we can do it. So
I was going to say, with your background, I'm sure you're more than capable to just, okay, tell me what you want, and we can make it happen.
If I can make it work, we'll make it work. Mm-hmm. Within, obviously, all the health department standards and all that stuff that we totally abide by. But if we can make it work, absolutely. I'm open to all that kind of stuff. Definitely.
Yeah, well, that's amazing to be able to have that background and have that flexibility to really cater to your clients and to your customers, and to be able to invite those groups in and to be able to meet the needs. I think it's a cool concept and a great addition to Water Street. You talked a little bit about some of the other properties like the Backyard, mm-hmm. and some of those that are kind of similar but not really in the sense of a place to go and hang out and have a drink,
and everybody down here is really weird. I mean, I've been down here for a minute because mm-hmm. of Biscuits, and I've got to know all the owners, and I legitimately support each other in the mm-hmm. sense of, I'm over at Sticks often enough. Robin and her girls over there are great. Obviously, the guys at Mojave very well.
Yeah.
Still good at Biscuits. I mean, I know there's been some movement there, but there's still some employees there that I know. So, and the owner, Jeff at Street Burger, is a good guy. So there's a lot of good people. We try to support each other. So it's kind of the goal is, just kind of bounce around and check out the other local spots that are here. And the funny thing is, I have people come here that live like 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
And they, what's it, Water Street? Is anything happening down there? I'm like, you live 10 minutes. Let's drive by it. And then when they get here, they're like, holy smoke. So funny enough, as much as you guys have pushed and you push stuff out there, it's amazing that people still are kind of like, I can't believe something's happening like right up the street from me. It is. It truly is. And it's not stopping because between, the condos going here, the hotel going here, and just other development happening down here, it's gone through that. It's always uphill. It's gone up and it kind of levels off for a minute, then it goes up again. And so we're on that uphill climb again. So I know probably by this time next year, this is going to be a total different scene down here.
Right.
It really truly will be. So besides having a great local audience here from Lake Las Vegas and Cadence and Tuscany and all them over here, plus out over here all around Water Street, but then now you're going to have a hotel with 90 rooms and five stories of condos that are literally captive audience and the townhomes. Mm-hmm. They're going to be down here walking around. They can actually walk out of their home and walk to go anywhere, not to get into a car to go do something. So that's like an inner city feel.
Yeah.
And that's exactly kind of what it's leaning, getting to. Yeah. So I know it'll be, we'll have a little start here or slow, where we'll get busier next year, but I know once those things kind of start getting filled up, It's going to be different.
I was going to say, it's definitely, when you're going through those growing pains, kind of the early, when you're in early, you definitely, you see a lot of the potential that can come. And I liked how you pointed out that you guys are, that how much the businesses here on Water Street support each other.
Absolutely.
That's what we really tried to, and that's the reason for this podcast is a lot, is to really bring everybody together within the community, within redevelopment, and understanding what everybody's doing and what's going on, and, the synergy that kind of comes from all of the businesses that we have here. It's not, I can't think of anything here on Water Street that's really detracting from one another, or sure they're competing, but it's a different variety and a different enough uniqueness with each of your businesses that there's something for everyone down here.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Nothing's the same. I mean, the vibe is, even though this vibe, maybe Backyard and Mojave, all kind of similar rock, southern, what I kind of mind, that kind of, but it's still different, different locations. Then it's become more of a destination. You had Love Lady and Wands on, it was great.
Yeah.
That was and Gold Mine, but that was kind of it.
Yeah.
As stuff started opening, now some people are coming out, they can actually come here and park and walk.
Right.
A lot of people do that. So that's kind of the idea. And, and to your point, the owners, we do try to help each other out. I mean, the guys at Mojave were great with me, helping push, and they still push us because in their thought, if anybody struggles, they don't want them to fail because you don't want somebody to fail. That to me is like an eyesore on the street if businesses fail, because you try to help. Now, if a certain owner or whoever is doomed,
right.
But
if you run it into the ground, there's nothing we can do.
Right. But I know for a fact I know a lot of stories and people helping each other out all around. I mean, Shanti and Chinitas is very helpful with me as well.
Yeah.
I helped her on a few things. So that's the good thing. I think my background from some of these folks, I have the stronger of winning in hotels and restaurants for so long. But they're stronger because they've been owning their own business for a long time. So I think that's a good handshake, so to speak, back and forth to where, hey, here's some ideas, and hey, can you help me out with this?
Because
I'm stumped. So it's been a year long, a little bit of a rough journey, but of waiting. But their help is definitely, hey, hang in there, stay patient, it's gonna happen. So we're open.
We're here
so now. It's just gotta happen.
We're open now. We can move forward and. Get you out there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We're ready for it. I said we did a soft opening purposely so we didn't get throttled with a new staff, new menu, new chef, everything. But we've gotten hit a few times and we can do it. So I have other employees waiting to come on and join us, but I'm kind of holding them back just until we get a little more business in here. But once we do, it'll warrant bringing more staff on. But what we have right now, we have four girls and a chef, and they're killing it. So they're doing a great job. So we're moving it. Now we just need to keep going. So
we like that.
Yeah.
We like to hear that.
I like that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We like to hear that. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. And
I appreciate you coming out and talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. This is great. We love to support our businesses on Water Street and get out and get your story out there for everybody to hear.
Well, thank you.
Make it happen. So
come lunch.
Yeah, come to lunch. come check it out. And so maybe as a final question, just to kind of wrap it up, when you're not doing this, what are things that you enjoy? What other hobbies do you have?
I've been here every day for the last couple of months. I would say prior to this, concerts.
Yeah.
I haven't gone to too many this year, just from the fact this is taking up a lot of time. Just went and saw them the other night though, and it's just a good way just to kind of forget about stuff. And it's a band I've seen 3 or 4 times, but I still love going to see them. They're just great. So concerts are definitely a big one. I worked at golf clubs for years, so obviously if I can find 3 or 4 hours to spare to go play golf, I'll go play golf.
Because you have lots of that right now, extra time.
Yeah, just right. the one day I'm off is Monday, and most of the clubs I play are closed on Monday. Yeah, so I'm like, that kind of defeats the purpose. But, it's kind of it. This has obviously been the passion. So going to the concerts is kind of a double whammy thing. Yeah. I'm able to go to the show and enjoy it and bring the memories and the stories back into our place here. So,
and I don't want to put you on the spot and get you in trouble if anyone if anyone's listening.
Sure.
But do you have a favorite local band? That
favorite local band? It's funny. There's a lot of bands that live here that I didn't even know lived here. But probably the one group that I've followed since their inception when I was living in Phoenix and they're a little heavier. It's a Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
So they live here. I met all the guys several times. They've not been in here yet. but from a local standpoint, that's and then following them from Phoenix days up to here, they're a good band and they've been out for a while. So, yeah, it's by the but there's I mean, but all the local music scene, there's some great bands up here that are starting up too. And so it's I know they're looking at building a music studio somewhere out in North Vegas, whatever kind of. So I see a lot of bands from LA moving out here just from, you know, California and Texas, whatever else. And so they're calling Vegas could be the next, like, Nashville West, because Nashville is like New York.
Right.
So a lot of recording artists go to Nashville just from a, I'm sure it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. But the music scene there is, I mean, it's more probably heavy country, but still a good music scene.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
I think Vegas is that next one where you're going to see a lot of the other bands, not just moving out here from their respective homes, but newer bands starting up
in town.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exciting. So, that's we'll have to watch
just
that.
Just what I keep hearing stuff. So
yeah,
hopefully all that can tie into this a little bit too. So be great. So
hopefully you can get a few of them to come here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I keep hearing. I've had a few come in here. They're going to bring so and so in, bring some of their friends with them. I'm on Instagram. I see pictures of the bands hanging out with them. Like, all right, well, bring them on down.
I'm here.
Because I know in that little circle with the rock bands, they have their own little. Like, they have their own little circle of people they talk to very directly about, hey, go to this place, it's cool, you're not going to get mobbed or harassed.
Right.
And I know that for a fact. So, you know, it's if they can if they get down here, I think they'll get the story going. So
maybe that's the plug, is, hey, come down here, and you may not who you may see someone.
That's the hope. That is the hope. Come on, you never know who could be in here.
That's right.
But we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for letting us come down. We wish you the best of luck and success in this venture, and we'll be sure to check back in with you in the future and see where you're at.
Definitely come down and see us, and we're at rockandgrapes.com is our website, and hashtag rockandgrapes is Instagram, Facebook. We've been heavy on that.
Perfect.
So we'll get more stuff going at the beginning of the year, obviously, and our ribbon cutting is January 11th.
Okay.
But keep an eye on updates. We're doing little things right now, nothing major with the end of the year coming and holidays, but as the first of the year starts, we already kind of have a plan with marketing with some of the radio stations and stuff. So just keep, if you jump on our website and jump on the Instagram and Facebook right now, we'll start putting stuff out there pretty quick. And
awesome.
You'll start seeing stuff happening. So.
Well, that's perfect. We'll thank put it out much. There for you. All right.
Appreciate
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Welcome back from that excellent interview with Kevin. We appreciate, again, him sitting down with us and meeting with him at his new shop there at the corner of Whiteheadwater and Atlantic. And so we invite you to come down, take a look, check the place out. It's pretty cool. He's got a lot of great got pictures and a lot of different memorabilia from the rock industry that he has connections with. And so he, you know, like you said in the interview, he has a lot of cool memorabilia from a lot of different bands and different acts and that he's followed and that they've donated and he's gotten for his shop and be able to rotate that out. So that should be a pretty cool space to see all those different memorabilia and stuff go up and come down. And
how cool that he'll be switching it out every few months and switching the menu out. You got to go now and see what he has to offer before it changes up.
Right. You know, they talked about the sandwiches and the charcuterie boards and it sounded pretty good. It sounds, well, you know, we're definitely on board with that.
The quickest lunch on Water Street is what Kevin's touting right now.
That's so right.
You got to try it out. See if it holds up.
And for our city employees, that is a vital issue. We need quick. So that was awesome to be able to hear his story and to hear where he came from and some of the cool experiences he's had in the industry and the eating and drinking industry. So he definitely has the background and knows what he's doing. So
he has a great collection of wines and craft beers that you won't find at every bar.
Yeah.
Also be rotating.
Some that are from Water Street even. So,
yeah. It's very cool.
So very cool. But so again, Kevin, come down, Rock and Grape Wine Bar. That's the place to come check it out. And say hi to Kevin when you're there. He'll be there.
Right across from Sticks.
Yeah. Thanks again, Kevin. We wish you the best of luck. And if there's anything you need, let us know. And on that note, for all those out there listening, if there's any needs that you guys have for here at the within the city from in the redevelopment areas. Please let us know. Reach out, touch base with us, see what we can do to help you out to meet your needs. If there's any issues you're having out there, let us know so we can take care of those, get those taken care of. We want to make sure our redevelopment areas and businesses are being looked out for and watched over. So that's what we're here for. Also, again, like I said, a plug that if you want to be on the show, we'd love to come meet with you. Let us know. You can always reach me at derek.allen@cityofhenderson.com and or you can go to our website at cityofhenderson.com/redevelopthat, and you can find all of our episodes, and you can there's a form there that you can fill out, and they'll get us contacted so we can come meet with you and see how your business is doing. But again, we hope you guys had a great holiday season. Happy New Year. We look forward to another great year of redevelopment, Redevelop That, here in City of Henderson redevelopment areas. And so we have a lot of exciting projects and a lot of exciting new things coming up in the new year.
And, there are. And when you come down to check out Rockin' Grapes, make sure to drive up and down Water Street there. The face of Water Street is really changing weekly, with the hotel construction, the Lennar construction at the south end of the street. The Watermark is getting close to wrapping up. It changes daily, it feels like.
We're getting a couple of new ice cream shops. I think one ice cream shop, a gelato shop.
Crab Island, if you want to do a crab boil.
Yeah.
There's so many new and exciting things. Water Street District really is the place to be right now.
So come check it out. We're going to sign off, right, Tiffany?
With that, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
I mean, not see you. We'll come back next time.
We'll look forward to be with you again next time. Perfect. How's that? Awesome. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode.